Blog Talk Radio.
The Fed is in panic, and to be perfectly honest with you, so am I. I've been saying that they're out of tricks, and here's the proof. $4 trillion in fake money, and it doesn't seem to be doing anything. A 50 basis point cut, and it didn't do anything. The foundation of all markets is disintegrating, and your wealth, if you're not properly protected, will disintegrate with it. We have the solution. It's called the Wealth Shield. I'm going to be talking about that today and ever so much more. Coming up. I'm Lynette Zhang, and I have been born and groomed for this moment in time. I'm the chief market analyst here at ITM Trading, a full-service physical precious metals dealer specializing in custom strategies to help you survive and even thrive and take advantage of the opportunities that are presenting, will present in this meltdown that we are in right now. So we're going to talk about all the things that have been happening. I'm telling you, I wish I could come on every 2 seconds, to be perfectly honest with you. Because yet again this morning, stock trading was halted. And we want to make sure, so if you can't see this image closely, remember, all of the links and all of the images you will find on our blog. And this would be one that you want to see. So last night, to contain the virus, President Trump set a travel ban. Okay, well, the stock market did not like that. It hasn't really liked much of anything. And you can see that on Monday, the S&P dropped 7% and trading was halted. And again this morning, you had the same kind of behavior. Twice in 1 week. I want you to think about, when was the last time you ever saw that kind of behavior? This is all bad enough, but the real problem is in the bond markets. So most people hold wealth in stocks, they hold wealth in bonds. Foolish them, because those are all dollar-denominated instruments that are designed to go away over time. This is the end of that long experiment that started in 1913 and then escalated in 1971. So I'm going to show you the strategy, an overview of the strategy that I've been telling you about, because we can see what the problem is. We have the solution. I've been studying currencies since 1987. I've been in these markets on some level since 1964, and I am 65 years old. And somehow, when you are there and you're living through these events, they have more of a tendency to stay in your mind. So anybody that's my age or around my age, I'm sure you're going to recall a lot of things. But what you might not have done is watched the patterns. And that is one thing that I have done these many years. So I developed a strategy for myself and then shared it with everybody here at ITM Trading. This strategy has been integrated into everything that we do here. So the first thing that we're going to look at, excuse me, Megan, can you give me that other thing from Ryan, please? So first thing we're going to look at is wealth protection, because frankly, that's what you need to be doing right now. Not that, Megan. The other piece that Ryan sent in, okay, never mind. I'm sorry. Let me just breathe here for 1 second. I need to slow down so I can move forward. Okay. So one thing that we're talking about is, the first thing you have to do is protect your wealth so that you ensure yourself that on the other side of this mess, that you actually have what you started out with. So how do you do that? How do you protect and preserve your wealth that you already have so it doesn't disintegrate into the markets, into the currencies? So we address that. It's really a 12-step process. The next thing we look at is sustaining your current standard of living, because that is critical as much as possible. So how do you do that? How do you sustain your current standard of living all the way through this cycle so that your entire life and your family's life or anybody that you care about is not kicked off course? Then you want to get into position to take advantage of the opportunities that present during crisis. You know, we've heard, never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, we know that the powers that be don't do that. They take advantage, and they are definitely going to be taking advantage of this crisis to reset the financial system and the global economies and the global monetary system. But you also have an opportunity to reset, reposition your wealth that will guarantee you income for the rest of your life. You can't outlive it. And dare I say it, even then leave a legacy for your family so that they have a foundation of wealth. That, hopefully they do smart things, like I hope my children do smart things with it, but that they potentially will never outlive. This is how, really, it's based on dynastic wealth. And dynastic wealth is wealth that lasts in families for at least.
Assalamu alaikum. I've just been reminded, informed, advised that I didn't set the timer for the full 2 hours that we normally have. So I didn't do that. So where those of you who are listening in, it's already saying 90 seconds, along with the fact that we couldn't get in. So that ate up time right there. So I'm saying to Blog Talk folks, stay on. Stay on, because there's still going to be time that we will stay on until that little extra time goes off. And in fact, what we're going to have to do, I'm going to just go ahead and let Miss Lynette Zhang, let her go on off. We'll play her more later. So I'm satisfied that there's at least a half an hour of broadcast time that we will have, despite my timing error. And so, Malik, hopefully you're in. Come on, dial in, because I want you to come on and bring what you have. You have about 40 seconds to dial in. So He said nothing came through. I'm looking at him on a text. So this might be one of those snafu kind of broadcast days. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Those of you who are on right now, just go ahead and hang in there. If not,
before, and in fact, the bid in London, there were no offers on the 30-year U.S. Treasury bond. No offers, none. This was Monday. I've never seen that before. These are uncharted.
Yeah. So, yeah, brothers and sisters, this is one of those days. So, mashallah. So, Those of you who are online, since everything is so out of order, but we will not be defeated, whether it be human error or other. Those of you who are online with us now, Blog Talk, this is obviously going to be a short broadcast day, but we can spend the time having a conversation. So what if we were all just sitting around the coffee table, the dinner table, the restaurant table, and we were just chatting about what in the world is going on. Why don't we go ahead? Malik sent me a note. Nothing dead, time expired, so I'm going to have to send him a my bad text. My bad, and mashallah. But those of you who are online, we still got a minute, and maybe you need to say something to me to buoy me up, to say hang in there, Fahim, you good, bruh, whatever. I just don't feel good about just saying okay, well, that's all today. So there you go. Thank you for checking in. Got my friends coming to save me. As-salamu alaykum, brother Imam. How you doing?
Alaykum as-salam. Hey, listen, that's the least I could do. Many times you didn't did it for me. As-salamu alaykum. I just saw the news feed about some stuff. So I think you mentioned it over the last few days of what you during your broadcast that, you know, we're going to have some emotional peaks and valleys. But when it's all said and done, you know, we know who we rely on. We know who's in control. But like you
That's
said,
right.
It's just human nature to still have those moments. So I think that, you know, the uncertainty of it all, I don't think it's the doubt of it all. It's the uncertainty of it all because, you know, a lot doesn't have to put us in the planning department, you know. As a football coach, you know, we used to meet on Sundays and get the game plan for the week. You know, Allah doesn't include us in the game. He gave us a playbook, though.
We
have to, you know, really hold fast and hold tight and you know, and get through this. The one thing I know that, especially since we've been dealing with Monday nights, if we don't know anything by now, if you've been with us all these, you know, all this time, you've been giving up this wisdom on Monday night, we don't realize that it's all about the money. And just a little bit that I heard in, because I came in a couple minutes late, where the young lady said that they're going to use something like this to reset everything. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. You know, we see that. And the airline industry asked for $50 billion today. And, so it's like everybody's going to have their hand out. And if they can not call it a bailout but call it a coronavirus, then they're going to do that. So we've been prepared, you know, if nothing else. We just didn't know what date, but it's finally hit the rock bottom, and we just have to get through this, you know. And, you know, inshallah, you know. So we're going to win. If it's not here, it's where we're going to be forever. So, hey.
Alhamdulillah.
So, but yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah,
don't,
you know.
Don't,
hey,
don't
no,
hang
no,
up.
No
hang
problem. Yes, sir.
All right.
That's right. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. Hajja, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. I just ditto everything the brother just said. And the message is just so clear. We've been given so much knowledge, so much wisdom, so many opportunities over the past years to try to get the Titanic in order. And we've been told over and over and over again that the day was coming. So to that, I say, favors of your Lord will we deny. And it's just really, truly a blessing. It's related. I may digress a bit, but it is related.
No, it's okay. We're just sitting down having a cup of coffee. Go ahead. What's going on?
So
what'd you say?
I went to the supermarket today. that wasn't Phyllis's plan, but Allah, I use like a gallon. I keep a gallon of white vinegar. I've had a custom of adding it to my laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I find that it, you know, it makes it smell nice, and you know, I just like it. So this morning, when I was about to take a shower, I noticed that the drain in the tub was moving a little slowly, and so I used the old trick: add the vinegar and the baking soda to the drain, so that that
mm-hmm.
scientific process, you know, kind of moves things
mm-hmm.
through, and then you get some
yeah.
hot water and you flush it out, and alhamdulillah, everything is good. But now I don't have
mm-hmm.
my vinegar for my laundry, and I'm like, let me go to the supermarket. Or if I go to
mm-hmm.
the supermarket, and what is the emergency with white vinegar? There was not one container of any
mm-hmm.
size of
mm-hmm.
white vinegar on the shelf. I'm like, subhanAllah,
mm-hmm.
like, who would have thought that, you know, all of the things that people would take off the shelves. I was with my son doing Hurricane Sandy. And when I came back to New Jersey, first of all, they wouldn't allow us to fly. If you recall, the whole traffic was shut down. So many
uh-huh.
days later, when we were finally able to return, I remember coming home and, you know, within the next week, I went to the supermarket and there was literally nothing on any of the shelves
mm-hmm.
in the whole supermarket.
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
it looked almost like that today. I said, wow,
mm-hmm.
this is interesting. So I say that to say that we've been talking about wealth creation and preservation, and we've also been talking about ways to store things in advance, being proactive, because the day
mm-hmm.
will come where you're
yeah.
not going to have that opportunity. And wallahi, I'm standing. I just wanted to get some vinegar so that I could wash my, you know, change that winter stuff over to spring stuff. Throw it.
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, we're not doing that today. So I thank you again. I thank you again. I thank you again. May Allah reward you for all that's been shared. It's just invaluable. It really is invaluable.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah,
thank you so much. And alhamdulillah, we just keep doing what we're doing. Hang in there.
Yeah.
I'll make a couple of comments, and I think we're gonna sign out.
Okay.
Thank you.
As-salamu
alaykum. As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah, you know, truly, it truly is. And let me say this also. You know, we're Muslims and not Catholics, right? I always say that, but you know, I do have a confession, and maybe this is a part of what was operating unconsciously, and I didn't know it, or maybe it was just God's will in general, anyway. But part of my pattern of the day, or the Monday, is to, you know, make sure that everything is all set for the broadcast, but I didn't do a pure checklist, obviously, today. But part of the peculiarities of today and the broadcast content and my search for broadcast content today, that search took place before I set it up. That is to say, when I have the Lynette Zhang recording because of the fact that, okay, well, I did decide to play Lynette Zhang, which is really kind of like a starting point for the broadcast, and then I kind of build out comments from there. And Malik and I, we actually have a conversation every Monday morning just to kind of say, okay, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? And we talk and we, you know, feel each other out in terms of perspective and the like, and come to some clarity, at least in terms of what we're seeing and what we're interested in sharing. And there's just so many things and so many different approaches, so many things at work, that it was truly difficult he and I were clear in the context of what we felt needed to be said, and that it had a lot to do with taking advantage of these steep declines in gold and silver. And when you listen to the, it's not the nice way to say it. Well, let's call them analysts rather than the other word I was thinking about using, because those people who do technical analysis and who do market research and the like, and they look at what's going on. Most of those that I did listen to, they were saying like silver is absolutely at a place where it's like never been in history. So apparently there's a gold-silver ratio. I don't know what those numbers are right now. I know that when I was paying attention to it, it was like something like 80 to 1, meaning 80 ounces. 80 ounces of silver would have the value of 1 ounce of gold. So apparently that ratio is really historical in its proportion in terms of its value. So it's that if you're going to get precious metal, et cetera, then it's the silver that's really on sale right now. And so, you know, thinking of, and also gold, in it going down, and the fundamentals that are actually pushing it down are quote unquote of a temporary nature. But then, and also, what's pushing it down is, you know, of course this coronavirus, and I want to throw this other thing out, just conceptually something to look at and get a grip on it relative to wealth creation in this time. In fact, two things, but one thing, and both of them are from Nicholas Taleb. That's the way they say his name, T-A-L-E-B, Nicholas Taleb. And one is the Black Swan, and he has a book on that very thing, and he invests with an awareness of the potential for Black Swans, puts a very small bit of his investment portfolio into a potential black swan in any particular asset class. So he has a whole book on that. Black swan are those things that are totally unanticipated, but if they happen, the leverage benefit of someone who was trying to be present for that potential, if it was realized, they would have vast benefits from position. His skill set is proportioning the way that he invests in such a way that, let's just call it, 97% is strong fundamental, quote unquote, conservative or very sound based due diligent technical analysis, 97% of it, but then about 3% or so goes into the black swan, meaning, okay, what if this happens? Okay, well, I want to have a little something over there just in case that happens. But I even do my due diligence in that domain such that, you know, it's not pure speculation, but it is one of the ways that you invest on the possibility / speculate. So the coronavirus and the whole scenario with that, this is a black swan event. It's like Black Swan is probably putting it light right now because every economic domain is impacted. I mean, it's like a bomb went off somewhere, and if you took that place, that city, you know, as ground zero, it's like everything in that city is impacted. So it is with the global financial system and, of course, the national financial systems. Everybody, everything is impacted by that. And nobody anticipated this particular event. This is the definition of a black swan event. And so it'd be very useful for us to know that. It would take to recognize that, and let's go back to Patrick Bet David, I think, I don't know, I have a feeling, I think that was last week, the 20 rules of money. If that wasn't last week, I don't know what last week was. In any case, he does have online the 20 rules of money, Patrick Bet, like gambling, Bet David, and that's his name. So I think it's kind of like a, some kind of like a Jewish, that middle name is like a, like Joshua Ben Nun. I think Patrick Bet David, he may be Jewish, I don't know. It doesn't matter. The point is, one of his rules is you need to know your politician's philosophy. You know, what their money management ideology philosophy is. Because it's in that way that you can know the kinds of decisions that they're going to make and the kind of industries and asset classes that are going to be impacted, because that's the way they are and that's what they do, then in that way you can take advantage of the kinds of economic impacts that will be born out of that person's mindset. So when you look at the situation as it stands right now from a wealth creation perspective, certainly there are those people who have taken abusive advantage of it. That is the alhamdulillah. This, you want to know what usury is? Usury was, if I was told at a breakfast that there was a couple that bought out all of the, it wasn't hand sanitizers, but we'll work on that. So what have you, that is obviously in demand. In times such as these, well, they did get ahead of this. This is corruption. I'm talking about corruption right now. They got ahead of it in a sense, people really want to do it. So they bought up, like, so much of it from whatever the local sources are and started selling it online for multiples of time more, meaning price-wise, than quote-unquote normal market circumstances, normal retail, blah, blah, blah. And I think they quote-unquote profited by some $70,000 or something like that on one of those kind of like white vinegar type products. And so in the interview where they were being asked, well, why did you do that? They said, well, we're hustlers. You know, see, that behavior right there, that's the definition of usury. That to take advantage of someone who's excessively dependent on you, this is what the imam gives us, the practical definition of usury. Those who take take advantage of people who are excessively dependent on them. And so that is usury. So you want to know what usury is? You want to know what riba is? You know what Muslims are not supposed to? That's the textbook example of that. It doesn't mean the simple interest from banks or even the simple interest from credit cards. Now, we know we got some price gouging credit cards and the like, but they do that to a particular class of people who put themselves or who find themselves, let's say, in that situation. Okay, so the idea is that when you understand that, what are some of the things that are going to happen under these particular circumstances, so then in that way you can make some decisions to put yourself along with respect for the trajectory of things, and not only not be hurt, but also be benefited, but not vis-a-vis usury. So it doesn't mean, okay, let's use Warren Buffett. I think this example from Warren Buffett is not usurious, right? And that is, there's a joke in there somewhere. Are you serious? So in terms of, that's not usually, it was said on a couple of interviews that I've listened to, it seems to be like common knowledge in the marketplace that Warren Buffett went to cash for multiples of millions in cash, right, in anticipation of a time such as this. And really, in so many ways, you know, as much as we have said, there are those who have more advanced and more inside information than we could get, because we get it from the secondary market of YouTube and, you know, online blogs and different things like that. Well, these people talk to the people who are, you know, engaged in these particular industries in a very, very deep way. So they have more knowledge than we do about the reality of the situation. That being said, it's like they can anticipate long before us seeing the storm clouds gathering for an asset class or a particular industry or what have you. And business is, you know, buy low, sell high. So whenever it is business for you to look at, okay, this is what's going to happen. You know, you got people shorting airline stocks, let's say, for example. If the stock market is still open, I haven't even looked back this morning to check and see did they ever open up after those triggers were hit that automatically shut down trading. Either way, the point is that's what's happening. So when we look at what's going on here, we can still think in terms of wealth creation under the circumstance. And one of the prime ways in terms of benefiting is to, and here's the language is buy the dip. So it's like, I don't own any stocks. I mean, I've really given up on some years ago, a number of years ago. Certainly when I started, basically around the same time I started dealing with cryptocurrency, it's like I'm not really dealing with stocks. But I did take a look at, you know, I had a thought, some thoughts about stockpile, which is, you know, little simple ways to get into stocks, et cetera. But the kind of technical analysis, at least even in our small way, for that investment to really, you know, make sense and not just be pure speculation, I didn't feel like, just put it raw, I didn't feel like going back into that kind of reviewing to decide, well, which one do you really want to deal with? I'll just stick with where I am right now. That was also one of Patrick Bet-David's message. He put it kind of harshly. He said diversification is for sissies, and he's, you know, that was just to build up his point. And the point being that you do need to choose something that's going to be your prime asset class, your prime domain for your investing, you know, and you have to be an investor in order to create wealth. Okay, well, one of the ways is like if you're a master, jack of all trades and master of none, then you won't really be able to benefit in a way, because you're going to gain, lose, gain, lose. You need to find the horse that you're going to ride, if you will, grounded in all the due diligence and using the akal, using your intellect and et cetera, and the results are on God, of course. But to get a focus, understand what the fundamentals are, understand what your level of conviction and belief is, and of course, if it's at that level where you're ready to ride with that, then you got to decide to ride with that. And then you also have to decide to check your own pulse always, and because if your blood pressure gets too high on the basis of any investment that you made, then that means that you're overinvested. So it's like, why are you worried? You only get worried if you overinvest it. And of course, you're not supposed to be investing what you're depending on for your life. If you're depending on your livelihood, or you're depending on that money to pay the rent, to pay this bill, or to put food on the table, well, then you shouldn't have did that. You weren't equipped for investing. But given all those other things have been covered, then if that thing had value the day before the announcement about coronaviruses or whatever else, then it still has value. It's just the situation that caused the prices to collapse because people are running for different kinds of cover. But if it's in the asset class that you know that asset class has value, and it had value the day before the coronavirus announcement or whatever other kind of the Fed announcements, whatever, and it caused the price to plummet, then you have a causal reference for, oh, okay, well, this has basically been caused by this. And if, as was said, even if it's being used as an excuse to suppress certain other things and the like, well, that still doesn't mean that it doesn't have the value. Gold, for example, silver, for example, and for me, and no doubt some of you, you know, crypto, Bitcoin, it falls into that category for me as well. So that means that if it quote unquote, if the price fell 50% on something, which generally speaking seems like crypto is that's about where it's at as far as whatever the 3 month range or so, you know, let's just call it from December to now. If it's lost, or the price fell, we don't like the term loss, but the price fell by 50%, it doesn't mean that it's worth 50% less. The price is 50% less. The real value of it is yet to be realized. The real worth of it is yet to be realized. But in the current market and the current circumstances, it has lost, by comparison, 50%, and you can say 75% if you want to use December 2017. But, you know, again, that has to do with which direction you look at it from. If you look at it from the very beginning to now, it's still up, let's just call it 5,000%, right? But if you just look at it from December 2017 up to now, oh, it's lost 75%. So it depends on, you know, half empty, half full from that perspective. But in reality, when you understand the value of these asset classes, and I'm just saying, just focus on just those three, gold, silver, and crypto/Bitcoin for me. This means that they're on sale. That's what it means. I mean, if you like, I've used the Egyptian cotton model. It's like, look, a sheet at Macy's white sale. This same item would normally cost you $150, but then you walk through the door and they say it's only $65 today. It's like that's the same Egyptian cotton that was $150. And now you got it for 70% less. Well, it's on sale, okay? Same way with gold, same way with silver, same way with Bitcoin. So that in my reviewing and setting up for the broadcast tonight, that's what the analysts that surfing through those possible presentations, that's what most all of them were saying. They were saying, man, I wish I had more cash to be able to do that. Well, so enter Warren Buffett. You know, he was looking in terms of those assets that were going to come online because of the stock market failures and the like. So he's looking at businesses that fit a certain profile, that fit his area of interest and the like. He was already eyeing those as potential sales objects of his purchase all the time, and so that's what he's doing. And so, of course, that his statement is, you know, when there's blood in the street, that's when you. Well, I don't think that was his statement. I think his statement is that when other people are afraid, then you be greedy. When other people are greedy, then you be afraid. And I heard one citing Mark Twain. He says, whenever you find yourself agreeing with the majority, it's time for you to stop and think about your position, meaning that you need to, okay, wait a minute, I'm agreeing with the majority of people here? I better review my position here. Because, and the Quran says it very often, وَأَكْثَرُ النَّاسَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, but most human beings don't know. Most people don't know. So many times, unless you're talking about real, bona fide, grown, developed, mature Muslim believers, because Allah says Allah will never cause His believers to agree on an error. It's like they won't agree on an error. So in terms of, so with that majority, you're good. And the Prophet also tells us to stick with the majority in those controversial situations. So Islamically speaking, with those standards being met, it's okay being with the majority. But when you look at a manipulated mass, as is the case of most of the world, to go along with the majority is really something to review and to watch out. So therefore, that wisdom of people acting knowledgeably in the market, it's like when they're afraid, then that's the time for you to be buying. And when they are buying, call the irrational exuberance, one of the economic stars said, the irrational exuberance, well, maybe that's, you should keep your hands in your pocket. So in any case, the point is that I do believe, it's not financial advice, it's just what, where I am. I do believe that the current prices in those particular asset classes are, the ladder has been lowered for you to get a foothold in something that has a future that is really unprecedented, hasn't even been calculated. So that was essentially the idea that Malik and I thought to share. You know, of course, we don't have the benefit of his great stories that he starts with, and his research on different articles and different things globally in the world. So, mashallah. So we just miss him today, and that's on me. And inshallah, we'll get more the next time. So Nicholas Taleb. So I mentioned about the Black Swan and Anti-Fragile as another piece from him. And I'll try not to elaborate a lot more on this, but the Anti-Fragile, simplest way I can put it is that what don't kill you make you stronger. That's in principle. He has all the scholarly, you know, way of saying it. But in summary, it really, Anti-Fragile means that it is such that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So there are certain systems, certain way of doing things that the shock to that system actually makes it stronger. Anti-Fragile doesn't mean that it's like it won't break. What it means, it's a quality of being benefited by stresses that are put on it. Just like muscles, if you want to build muscle, then you have to subject it to resistance. So muscles are anti-fragile because the more resistance, you know, obviously healthy resistance, then the more growth, the more development, right? Your brain develops by solving problems, right? The more problems it faces and solves, then the stronger it gets. And the stronger it gets, then the more problems it can solve. And the more problems it solves, the stronger it gets. The brain is anti-fragile, right? So for as far as the current economy and the system, the banking system, and all the global financial system, it is not anti-fragile. It is fragile. It is fragile. And it is taking so many bumps, so many hits, and so many swings, and the cracks are there. It's not getting better. It's not getting stronger. It's getting worse. And every time it gets hit, if you will, 1929, 1987, 2000, I know there are others before that, but 2000, 2001, that is that, you know, dot-com bomb, and then 2008, 2009, and it's like the system is really reeling. And since 1913, the beginning of the Fed, whatever the Fed was supposed to do, that the name as was claimed in its work for the economy, the Fed no longer has those tools in its kit, those arrows in its quiver, in order to respond. And one clear example of that, as Lynette opened up, is that they cut into, it's unprecedented, like it's like overnight, okay, cut everything, we'll cut the interest rate down to zero. We'll reduce the reserve requirements of all banks down to zero. And we're going to release $1.5 trillion, but there's a calculation in the way that they say they're going to do it. They have some overnights. They have the 3 months. They have some one-month repos and different things, different language that they use for it. And it all adds up to $4 trillion. That means we're going to flood the system with these dollars, quote-unquote, in the so-called quantitative easing. And Wall Street heard that and either yawned or took out more money. And that was the main QE1, QE2, QE3, and this being QE4. That was the main trick in the bag in order to make things work, and it did not move the needle at all. Why? You know, it's like trying to put air in a tire and you really haven't secured the patch. You know, it's like, no, that hole is too big. Putting air in that, it's not going to cut. That is the analogy for what the state of the Fed, the central bank that has this interconnected relationship with the IRS, with the Treasury, and with the White House and quote-unquote Congress. And it's like, you know, it's like, what are we going to do? So for some of them, like Corona is just perfect. But at the same time, mashallah, I guess we're going to have to close out. It's just like when the storm clouds are coming, you know, some might think it's bringing rain, but others who know, it's like, no, this is it. It is here. Allah knows best. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, and may Allah guide and protect as He promises His believers and those who depend on Him, and that He make it easy for us, for them, and pray that we are one of them, and inshallah, all will be well. And having done some preparation, you should feel good about that. And if the lights are not completely out right now, to use that metaphor, well, then still got a shot. Do something. But do not do nothing until you know that there's nothing that you can do. Then beyond that, and all, pardon, along with that, trust in Allah always. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and sign out. Any last comments, you can push one and come on through. And if not, we're going to call it a night, mashallah. Mm-hmm. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your presence. Alhamdulillah. All right, God's peace be on you, everybody. Have a wonderful evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.